Thank you, James, for leading those. It sounded really good right over here in this section. So I probably sang too loud. That with a combination of being at Silver Dollar City yesterday on some of the rides. First time I've been there in about 7 years, and rode some with Carrie. And I can't remember either she or I screamed like a little girl. So it may have been me, and that voice may be gone. But thanks for leading us in those songs tonight. Very good. And thank you all for joining in. Joe's on vacation this week, and so we've kind of altered the normal pattern a little bit. Chris, of course, speaking this morning, did a great job carrying on through our text there in 1 John. And I'll be speaking tonight from the reading was taken from Philippians 4. And I think over these last couple of 3 weeks, we've looked at just some different topical things. And if you can just think of a verse that's good to hone in on, it would have to be this verse here in Philippians chapter 4, specifically verse 8. You've seen this saying, heard this time and time again. Attitude is everything. And that's probably a very, very true statement. And I think we see that in our lives. And I'd like to just consider tonight, these are some very simple, practical things. But things that I can use in my life. So I'm sure if I'm here speaking and you as an audience, we have some of the same needs and probably can hear some of the same things. So I want to consider our attitude tonight. And you all probably know that someone that has that bad attitude. And you work with that person, or you sometimes live with that person. Maybe you go to church with that person in your community. And oftentimes that person is the one looking you back in the mirror, is it not? And we deal with that on a daily basis sometimes. The attitudes that we try to keep and to some of the ones that we try to overcome. Many times we don't focus on the positives but the negatives. Many times we don't focus on the praising but the griping. And many times we don't focus on what we can give but what can we get. And you see that in the world around you. You see that day in and day out. We all know what attitude means. A simple definition is a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that someone, or thinking that shows one's disposition and mood. So that attitude is an outward reflection of what we're dealing with inside. It's what comes out. It's what's expressed. It's what others see. And it's something that we know can be difficult. A few years back, I was working with Airborne Express. This has been several years back now. I would be able to fly up sometimes to our sort center in Ohio. I was able to do that several different times. And from Springfield to Ohio, we flew in a little caravan, two-seater up front. And, of course, the pilot normally made the trip by himself, but the nights that he'd have a passenger, we'd get to ride right there in that passenger seat. And, of course, Bill knows well what we're talking about here. One night I said, hey, I love to drive cars. Can I fly this plane? And Dale said, well, it's between you and me. I said, okay, that's fine. Now I'm sharing it with you all. But he's probably retired now, so it doesn't really matter. So I took hold and I kept noticing we just would go down. And we'd just go down. And first time I'd ever had my hand on the steering wheel of a plane, I said, what's the matter? I keep trying to look over and see where we're going. He said, well, you know, we're up in the air. You don't have to see the road or anything. He said, keep it up. You're just you're letting it nose down and pull back. So I'd do that. And we'd. He said, watch the indicators. You know, that's what you watch. You don't watch the road in front of you because you're not going to hit a pothole or anything. But keep your eye on the indicators. And there's one of the instruments called an attitude indicator. And that's the one that tells you, are you dipping? Are you coming back up? Even are you doing okay side to side? You keep it right there on that crossbar. And then you're doing okay. But it lets the pilot know when the nose of the plane is above or below the horizon. And you could say that the performance of a plane depends on its attitude. And you know, that sort of triggered my thinking. Doesn't the attitude of an individual determine his or her performance in life? I think that's probably true. John Maxwell said, your attitude determines your altitude. A little boy was overheard praying one time. And he said, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm really having a good time as I am. And I wonder if that's the way we are with our attitude sometimes. You know, we know we've got that attitude that we can work on, we need to, but, you know, sometimes it's just easier and we're maybe having a good time just as we are. Jesus gives us an example. We're there in Philippians, back over in chapter 2. We won't take time to read this, but beginning there at verse 3, His attitude made Him selfless. That's there in verses 3 and 4. His attitude made Him secure there in verses 6 and 7. And His attitude made Him submissive there in verse 8. In fact, from the New Living Translation, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. That's the attitude that He had. The selfless, the secure, the submissive. Lots of popular song titles that we know. I'm going to give you four, and you pick the one that best describes your attitude indicator today. Make the world go away. Raindrops keep falling on my head. I did it my way. Or how about, oh, what a beautiful morning. And I think sometimes if we just stop and think about those simple things, where are our thoughts today, this very moment? So this idea of attitude is important. We need to consider this. We need to talk about it. We need to think about it. We need to look internally. And so often we just go through life and don't stop to do that. What about the foundation of our attitude? Where does all this come from? You know, Viktor Frankl, of course, the Jewish doctor who survived Hitler's Nazi camps. The Nazis killed his family. They beat him every day. They starved him. Placed a permanent tattoo on his arm to always remind him of where he was, the imprisonment that he had suffered. But in his book, he wrote these incredible words. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance. Attitude's a freedom, isn't it? We sometimes maybe think of it as that keeps us back, that enslaves us, but we're free in our attitude because we can choose. We can make choices. You know, the strength of any building is its foundation, just as the strength of any attitude is also the foundation. You know, after 9/11, for the longest time, there was a makeshift sign hanging from the remains of the Twin Towers, and it read, "The human spirit is not measured by the size of the act, but the size of the heart." I think that's so true. There's some foundational truths about an attitude or about one's attitude. First of all, a child's first years are most important for the right attitudes, and we know that. Many in this audience have raised children. You're raising children now. You see them grow, and those attitudes develop so early on. And we don't sometimes have a lot of good help in this world. A parent once made this observation. They said about this world, the litter is unbearable. The sonic booms are incredible. The tuna isn't edible. The diseases are incurable. The billboards are unspeakable. The slums are incurable. The smog is unendurable. The problems seem unsolvable. The people are unforgivable. And life has become intolerable. Sometimes we look around and think that's describing this world. A place where attitude can definitely take a nosedive. And that eats away at our kids early on. We realize sin entered in through one man. Romans 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin is a part of this world. Parents have to take control of the child's environment before the environment takes control of them. If you're raising young children, you see that. If you've raised young children that are now growing into their teenage years and maybe out on their own, you see that as well. We need to realize the importance of that and how early on. And keep in mind that as parents, we pass on certain attitudes to our children. So often we think that it's the school's job to train up a child. But it starts, of course, we know where that is. In our home, and I've capitalized that H-O-M-E in my notes. Not the school's job. I serve on the school board at Rogersville. We meet once a month. We don't talk about how to raise a kid. Yet I think so often parents allow that to happen. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do our kids see positive attitudes from us as parents? A challenge that we could all ask. You know, a father was trying to teach his son about positive attitudes. And the son came to his father with a problem in math. The son said, "Dad, I think I'm going to flunk my math class." And Dad quickly responded, "Son, you need a more positive attitude. That's very negative. Be more positive." The son said, "Dad, I'm positive I'm going to flunk my math class." You know, we've got to try to teach. Maybe they don't always get it, but we try. Attitudes grow on truth. Or as attitudes grow on truth, they become more solid. There's no such thing as a flawless attitude. But God can make the most positive influence on an attitude. Notice these verses. I'm going to just read about five or six here. John 16:33, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayers and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Psalm 37 and verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 42 and verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God." Those are verses that we have, verses we can use, verses we can share with our kids that all promote a healthy attitude. What a foundation upon which we can build. But we see attitudes that are being destructed all the time. Attitudes that are being destroyed, attitudes that are being crushed, attitudes that are being challenged. And I think there's some reasons for this. Some reasons that we see this happening, not only in the church, we're more familiar with that because we're a part of that. I think first of all, just forsaking the church, turning your back. Have we seen kids do that? We've talked about that. Last year we invited Joel Singleton, Imparting Faith series, because of the statistic. We're only retaining 20% of our kids as they grow up in the church. I think something that says so much about an attitude is simply the forgetfulness of praise and thanksgiving. Are we a thankful people? Remember, you may say, you're being too negative tonight. I'm talking to Dwight tonight. Am I a thankful person? Am I able to express the gratitude that I should have? First Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks." What a great attitude reminder. Throughout the Bible, people have seen God do His greatest work because of praise and thanksgiving that has been offered to Him. I think sometimes maybe our attitudes are destroyed because we're afraid of taking risks. We like to be safe in what we do. Life is full of risks. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk revealing your true feelings. To place your ideas and your dreams before a crowd is to risk rejection. To love is to risk not being loved in return. And to live is to risk dying, and to hope is to risk despair. So all of those good things, if we reach out on a limb, there could be consequences, and we sometimes cower back because we say, "I don't want to do that. I've been hurt before. I've been defeated before. People have stepped on me." Life's full of risks, and we're not always willing to take those. Did you realize that Henry Ford forgot to put a reverse gear in his first car that came off the assembly line? Thomas Edison invested $2 million on one invention that proved worthless. And Abraham Lincoln, listen to the story of his life, one that we would herald a great leader, a great president. He failed in business in 1831, was defeated for legislature in 1832. His fiancée died in 1835. Only one of his sons lived past the age of 18. He was defeated for Congress in 1848, defeated for Senate in 1855, defeated for Vice President in 1856, defeated for Senate again in 1858, elected to President in 1860. So we look back and say, wow, he did great things, but look at what he went through. Are we willing to do that? To climb out on a limb is the only way to get the fruit. And then the feeling of self-pity. You ever dealt with that before? I'm sure we could all say yes to that at one time or another. But as we close tonight, let's look at how can we transform? Where's this transformation? We've looked at how important attitudes are. The foundation, they start early on. How attitudes can be destroyed, but attitudes can be built, can be changed, can be transformed. Have you ever considered that you're only an attitude away from success? I think as we work on transforming attitudes, changing attitudes, improving attitudes, there are really three things that we should remember. And I want to leave these with you tonight. And think about them. They're very practical. First of all, the choice within us. Here's where it starts. The choice within us. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Remember what we said about Viktor Frankl a few minutes back. The last great freedom. Choose one's attitude in any given circumstance. You're a new creation in Christ, which includes your attitude. The old man with the old attitude is dead. As Christians, we live that new life. We have that new hope, that new future. You wake up every day with a choice which attitude is going to dominate your day. And if it dominates your day, it will also very much influence your family's day, whether that be a spouse or a child. It'll almost very often dominate those or influence those around you. So the choice is within us. Number two, the people around us. We need to look for powerful people that can challenge a bad attitude and positive people that can influence a good attitude. Who's that person that you know? It's got that good attitude, that positive outlook. How well do you know them? Is it a front? Sometimes maybe it is. Sometimes maybe we've put up that front even in our own lives. Look at the people around you if you really want to be transformed. Don't have any teens here really tonight, but in the notes I'd mentioned dating, and that's such an important thing. Who are you going to date? Who are you going to look to call that mate someday? The people around us. Telling a spouse that you need their help. And then finally, it's the choice within, the people around, but the God above. And that's a good one to end with because that's the key to this whole thing. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a great work in you will complete it. We're still a work in progress, are we not? That one that has begun the great work in you will complete it. You know, here's a formula that I believe helps us master our attitude. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, we look up. What do you think about that? How do we master our attitude? Who are we looking to? There's a song on the radio. And I've got to admit, I'm pretty new to 88.3. Maybe some of you have listened to that for years now. And I'm enjoying the music. Getting to know some of the, you know, if you're going to listen to that kind of music, you've got to know who's singing it, know what they're saying, know what the song's about. There's a group, Mercy Me, and I know several in this group would have heard and can relate to that group. But one of their songs has a part of a verse that I'd like to close with tonight. It says, could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. The chorus goes like this: no matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. Take a breath, smile, and say, right here, right now, I'm okay because the cross was enough. That song's entitled Flawless. And if you think about that, doesn't that bring forth a great attitude? No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, it doesn't matter because this life's going to deal those, and this we realize that. You live in this world. You know how hard it can be. But you can't have that perfect attitude until we've looked up. Until we've put on Christ through baptism. Until we have that relationship, and that doesn't fix everything. Many Christians in the audience tonight know that. We're on a new path, on a new direction. Have a new hope for the future. And we can literally say, because of the cross, our lives are flawless. You may be subject to that invitation tonight. You may want to put on Christ in baptism. I don't know your situation. I know most here tonight are Christians, baptized believers. Maybe there's someone here tonight that wants to do that. Or we can pray for you. We prayed for a sister this morning. Betty came forward at second service asking for our prayers. We want to do that tonight if you have that need. If you're subject to the invitation, would you come as we stand and sing?